Goeienaand luisteraars, baie welkom terug hier by Radio Tygerberg se program Ek en my kind. Elke donderdag aand is ons mos daar by julle deur. Dankie vir die oopmaak. Ons kuier graag saam met julle. Ek, Sura Swart en dan Neville Goliath. Hallo Neville.
Hallo Sura. Goeienaand liewe luisteraars, baie dankie dat u weer eens by ons is. U sal onthou ons het gesprek begin verlede week oor geesteswelstand. Want dis geesteswelstand bewusmakingsmaand hierdie maand van Oktober. Ons wil graag net u aandag daarop wend in terme van wat behels dit en wat kan u doen om te verseker dat u huishouding geestesgesond is of wel is. En hoe kan u daardie versorging vir u kind verseker? Toe ons 'n bietjie gesels vir die week rondom wat is dit, wat is die impak wat dit het op die kind se skool en leer in die skool en hoe dit ook impakteer op onderwysers. Hoe is die welstand van onderwysers deesdae? En u sal agterkom ons het gesê dat die welstand van onderwysers is nie op die regte plek nie, want daar is so baie dinge wat gebeur in die lewe, want geesteswelstand is nie net fisiese welstand nie, maar ook sosiale welstand en ook natuurlik die geestelike welstand. En hierdie drie aspekte werk in op mekaar. Die een hou verband met die ander. So dit wil sê as 'n persoon geestelik nie wel voel nie, gaan hy fisies ook nie okay wees nie. En dit is waaroor ons verlede week met u gesels het. Maar vanaand gaan ons verder gesels, nê? Ons het vanaand 'n gas in die ateljee. Sy is 'n sielkundige met die Weskaap Onderwysdepartement en sy is verbonde aan die Metro Noord Onderwysdistrik. En sy is Melanie Black. En Melanie Black is 'n sielkundige wat werk en sy het gesê sy werk in die Atlantis in Melkbos area. So u wat daar uit Atlantis luister, u ken dalk vir Melanie Black en sy dalk met u al reeds 'n gesprek gehad. Maar vanaand praat sy met almal van u hier in die Kaap oor hierdie belangrike onderwerp. Ons gaan praat vanaand oor geesteswelstand en sosiale media.
Melanie praat Engels en sy praat Afrikaans. So as julle nou hoor, dan gaan julle hoor sy kan al twee daai tale praat. Melanie, ek wil nou vir jou die vraag vra. Social media has been with us for decades now. And more we are making use of it. And last week we spoke about the impact of COVID. And I think during that time, technology became more and more important. And so social media also as a means of communication. But social media, people's got different views with regards to that. Some would feel, but this is really the bad thing in terms of our whole social relationships and what is happening to us, and that people are becoming so dependent on it that it's really something that has become overall negative to the mind and the well-being of people. Then there are people feeling, no, but it's a very good thing and it's easy, and so news are more accessible and we're quicker to get a hold of all things that are happening around us. How do you see it?
Hi, evening, and thank you so much for having me. Yes, I think social media is a big contradiction because, as you say, it can be used for so many good things. I mean, we never in the world did we think we would have access, you know, to such a powerful educational tool that is able to reach millions and millions of people. If you just think of South Africa and the stats in South Africa, we have over 45 million social media users, which is, you know, it's almost 42% of our population. Mm. And it says also that, you know, the average person spends about 145 minutes a day on social media. And I think it would be even bigger if we look at our teenagers and our young adults and the amount of time they spend on social media. So social media is definitely here to stay. And I think it will become more integrated and connected in our daily lives as we use it almost for everything that we do. And I think especially for teenagers, you know, and the way they have a desire for connection and building relationships, and they want to find a space where they can fit in. And if you look on social media, there's so many diverse groups that they are able to then identify with and find a space where they can connect and build relationships and get that sense of belonging that they really want. But often now the downside of social media is, especially I know where the fear of parents are coming in, is who are they connecting with online, you know, and how much time is healthy, and when do we need to get worried, you know, about social media and our teens and what they are viewing online and engaging with online.
Melanie, 145 minutes per day, that's more than 2 hours a day, and that's the time you're awake?
And that's the average person. That's not our teenagers. I often, when I engage with my teenagers, especially those with depression and anxiety, I ask them what their nighttime routine is. Mm. And a lot of them say they stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I ask them, well, what do you do in this time? Yeah. They're online. They're busy talking, chatting, listening, you know, watching TikToks, engaging in online activities. And then I ask them, but you have to be up. What time do you get up in the morning for school? And then it's like 7, 6 o'clock, you know, and that leaves them with 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. And then they wonder why they are so tired and irritable and down the next day and less resilient, you know, to kind of tackle life's challenges. And this is a big trend that I've picked up with almost all of my clients that I see, is that nighttime, you know, online usage that's really addictive, and they struggle with sleep and quality of sleep.
Surely, being online for so long cannot be a positive. It has to have some impact on the well-being. You mentioned now the child that you're supporting in terms of depression and anxiety. You realize that they've been awake for so long and they've been on social media. Now, what in terms of social media does that? Is it the fact that they're awake, or is it the fact what they are engaging online? Mm.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think sleep is extremely important for our mental health. And it's one of those basic foundational things that we need to be resilient and to bounce back, you know, for our life's daily challenges and stresses that we have, especially for teenagers, because their brains and their body is, you know, it's growing and it's developing so fast. So sleep is important. But we know also that for teenagers, biologically, they get tired a lot later at night than adults or younger children. So they do tend to be awake at night. So that opens up that door and everyone else is sleeping, and mom and dad think, you know, Johnny is resting in their room, the door is closed, not knowing that their child is actually up until 2 o'clock in the morning, and we don't know what they are looking at. And I think social media is designed to be addictive. That's the payoff that social media gets. It releases dopamine, which is a happy hormone. It creates a happy feeling when we are agitated. It makes us calm. When we are very calm and numb, it can actually bring us up again. So it actually gives us an upper and a downer at the same time. And also, I don't know if you've heard of the blue light effect. So your cell phone has a special light that actually stimulates your brain, and it gives your brain the message that it's actually daytime. It's not. It's night, and you're supposed to be sleeping. So your child's whole sleeping pattern is then out of sync, which creates a ripple effect.
Ek dink dit is te doen met die afskeiding van melanoom ook, nee, ja, wat baie, en dis nou daai hele interaksie tussen die fisiese gesondheid en die geestes welwees van iemand. Want die gebrek aan melanoom het weer ander fisiese effekte op die liggaam en op die funksionering van die liggaam en die funksionering van die brein op die ou einde, nee.
And imagine the strain it puts on your eyes and your brain as well, you know, being fixed on a small screen or an object for like 4 or 5 hours consistently. Even if I look at my own children, I mean, my son's much younger, but if he's online or watching YouTube or whatever for too long, as soon as he stops, he's a bit irritated and easily triggered and more aggressive than normal. So I think there is a physical reaction also when we are spending too much time online, and it does interfere with our mental health.
To what extent does this impact the development of a young mind negatively? How can social media be that kind of ill that would impact the child in such a way?
Yeah, social media has a... I spoke about the connection and, you know, but I think there's also something called like social contagion, which means when your child sees something online, there's a possibility for that kind of behavior to spread. And when we think about teenagers, we know that their brain is still developing and their identity formation is still a crucial part of their developmental tasks that they need to do. We also know that teenagers are more impulsive, and also that that prefrontal cortex, which is the front part of your brain, where your logical reasoning and your thinking happens, is not really fully developed yet. So if you give a teenager social media or a phone, they are likely to make impulsive decisions and maybe engage in riskier and unhealthy behavior. And I think also what teenagers don't understand is that what we see online is not always real. It's curated, filtered videos and images that they are seeing. So I'm a young girl looking at this beautiful girl, and I cannot compare to her, which obviously then also leads to body image challenges where girls want to strive to be like the people they see online. Boys want to be these muscular men that they see online. They want to be funny, but they don't understand that that's not entirely a truthful setting or representation of the person. It's curated. It's content. It's made up for entertainment value, but they easily compare their own lives to those lives, and then that's also where the depression and the body image challenges come in.
Die hele aspek van die sosiale interaksie en ons het nou verlede week gepraat oor daai hele dinamika van geesteswelstand en sosiale verhoudings en my vermoë om met ander in 'n goeie verhouding, my verhouding met myself en my verhouding met ander. Die hele aspek van cyberbullying, cyberbullying and the effect of cyberbullying, I think there's a lot to be said about that. Do we know enough about it? What is the effect of it?
I think the difference between online and face-to-face is when we are engaging face-to-face in a conversation, we have context, we have tone, we can see the person's facial response, and maybe that joke wasn't that funny because we have that constant feedback. But when we go online, we don't have context, we don't have that facial expression, we don't get that feedback. And also, because we don't have that, we have a screen and we are anonymous, we can be brave. And we say things and we do things that we most likely would not have done if we were standing face to face with that person. So I think cyberbullying is a huge problem. And unlike bullies at school that we can see and we separate from them, our phones are with us 24/7. So 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, you see a picture of yourself that was altered. You see comments of your friends that are laughing at something. And I think that is something that is then with that person for a very long time and can create a lot of shame and challenges in the long run. So cyberbullying is a big challenge when it comes to social media, and it can really hurt.
Are there certain signs? I think all teenagers or even younger children than teenagers, they nowadays they have a cell phone and they would have access to social media platforms. And parents allow kids to go there. Mm. What would be the signs that the parent need to adhere to when they see it? They need to know, hold on, I need to pay attention. Mm. Are there certain signs that caregivers need to be wary of or to cognizant of in terms of, I need to do something because my child is not doing well?
I think it's extremely important for parents and teachers to monitor and to observe their children. If you see something that is out of the norm for them, I know teenagers are generally, they go through hormone phases and their independence is something that they want to develop. So they want to be more with their friends and less with the family. Privacy is very important for them. So there is a space for that. So we need to be careful when we say, oh, your child is in the room, something must be happening, but monitor it. Well, some of the things that parents can look out for is extreme mood swings, irritability, feelings of sadness that's out of the ordinary, out of your child's personality. It's not what they are used to. Extreme change in sleeping patterns. As I said, your child is awake throughout the night, early mornings, and then sleeps through the day. extreme withdrawal from the family and friends, anything that they used to enjoy that is offline, like sports, extramural activities, going out with friends over the weekends, watching a movie, and now all of a sudden they just want to be home. They just want to be in their room. They don't want to be bothered by anyone else. They don't really even want to see their friends. They don't want to play rugby anymore. Hmm. They don't want to go to extra maths. They just want to be in their room, which then also, when you look at academic performance and lowered motivation to, you know, to do homework and to study because you're constantly on your phone. And I think that obsession with teenagers to constantly have their phone with them, checking online when we're eating at the table, when we are in a conversation with friends. I don't know about you, but I feel it's extremely rude when I'm talking, you know, I'm having a conversation with a friend and they are busy talking to someone else online. For me, that's something that would not happen if everyone was face to face. And I think teenagers have that obsession and they actually have an anxiety when their phone is in their room and they're not with their phone because they could miss something. Mm. And I think those are some of the important signs parents can look out for.
The impact van hierdie sosiale media rondom verhoudings. En ek dink dan binne in gesinsverhoudings, nee, ons mens sien byvoorbeeld ek kyk in 'n restaurant, sit mense om 'n tafel, dis 'n gesin wat om daai tafel sit. En elkeen is op 'n foon, daar is nie meer gesprekvoering nie. Mm. Waaroor jy nou gepraat het is dat ouers moet op die uitkyk wees. Maar ek dink as ouers ook so behep is met sosiale media, dat hulle nie gaan agterkom, dat daar by hulle kinders dalk 'n uitdaging is, of dat daar veranderinge is, en dat hierdie impak, ek wil jou vra uit jou ervaring uit, dat ouers baie keer ook maar ding, dis maar 'n adolessente ding hierdie. Wanneer raak ek bekommerd? Wat sê ek vir 'n ouer?
Dis soos ek gesê, daar's 'n balans tussen sekere goed is maar ek gaan tienerskap, né? Nee? Soos om 'n bietjie meer op jou eie te wil wees, jou deur toe as jy aantrek, jy weet, maar kan jy net meer instap in sulke dinge nie, maar dis daai te, né? Nee? Is as dit te veel is en as dit die verandering is, dis nogals beduidend, né? Nee? Dis nie net 'n klein irritasie nie, dis die heeltyd 'n irritasie. Dit begin met jou dag tot dag se werk. Interferes with your daily functioning, your schoolwork, your social life, your sports, your family relationships. Then it's something we need to say, whoa, let's watch, let's stop, let's pause quickly and just see what's happening here.
We started this conversation then that social media has been with us for some time and that's not going to go away.
No.
Luister ook nou na jou en jy sê, Melanie, dat hierdie hele comparison culture between what the child sees online and how they experience themselves, their bodies, etc., kan 'n groot impak hê rondom 'n kind se selfbeeld en hoe hy of haar self beleef in die sosiale ruimtes waar hulle self bevind. So dit het 'n groot impak op die ontwikkeling van die kind in hulle menswees. Nou sosiale media gaan altyd dit hê. En kinders, besef ons deesdae, het minder veerkragtigheid om hierdie stressors te kan hanteer. Nou, wat maak 'n ouer en wat kan die onderwysdepartement doen? En ons altyd bevind onsself in die onderwysdepartement. Wat kan ons doen om hierdie veerkragtigheid, die resiliensie te kan gee om dit te kan bemeester?
Ja, ek dink daai resilience wat ons help met ons uitdagings, wat elke mens, jy weet, neersit elke dag. Dit is iets wat ek regtig sien, is besig om agteruit te gaan, veral in ons tieners. Dit voel vir my asof hulle baie meer alles of niks wil hê nie. Dis daai instant gratification, né? Nee? Mm. Ek wil hê wat ek online sien en ek wil dit nou, en as ek dit nie kan kry nie, jy weet, dan sit sommer die ekstreem. Daar's nie 'n middelweg nie, daar's nie 'n probleemoplossingsstrategie nie. En ek dink dit is waar ouers en onderwysers so groot rol speel, is om daai gesprek met jou kind te voer, om te sien ek sien jy sukkel hiermee, kom ons gesels hieroor. En ek wil ook graag gesels oor, jy weet, dalk strategieë wat ouers en onderwysers kan gebruik as dit kom by jou kind help om hierdie hele, hoe moet ek sê, to navigate this world of social media, because it's really a conversation that you have with your child. I'm thinking of comparing it to having a car. Okay, your child tells you they want to have a car. You're not just going to give your child the keys and say, off you go with my Porsche, and there you go, driving with the car. Mm. But we do that with our children. We give them a phone, And then we say, off you go. So what do we do? It starts with a conversation. Okay, so you want a car. Why do you want a car? What is the risks? You know, what is the safety rules that we have? What do you need to know? What does the law say about it? And what are the rules that guide us? So if we can use that principle and use it with social media and have that conversation with our children. Okay, so you want a phone. What are you going to use the phone for? What are the risks? People online are not all good people. And not everything that we see online is real. And we know about fake news, you know, things that are not actually factual, the type of people that post things that maybe we in our family, we don't share those values. And now your child is being exposed to that. So I always have a conversation with my children in terms of, you have a phone, but there's limits to it. These are the guidelines that we have. And if something makes you feel uncomfortable, you have to have that conversation, even with a 7-8-year-old, because it happens. They play online games, there's pop-ups, there's adverts, there's people commenting that's actually adults playing online games with 7-year-olds. And we need to have those awkward conversations and real conversations with our children and make them aware of the risks and how they can remain safe online. Also, I think setting healthy boundaries, having limits, and we as parents are allowed to monitor the content. I think teenagers are very much aware of their rights. It's my phone. It's not. It's mom and dad's phone that we bought for you. And if you want to have this phone, we need to regulate what you watch. And we are allowed to take your phone, you know, whenever you want to, and to just go through or have apps. So there's lots of different parenting apps also, because we need to make sure that you are safe online. And we trust you, but we don't trust the other people. You know, we get a lot of parents that say, not my child. No, my child will never post photos like that. They will never bully online. My child doesn't engage in that at all. And it's those parents.
Yeah.
That often get the fright of their life when their child gets groomed or the school phones them and says, oh, your child posted this video online or this video was forwarded to other boys in the school, and then they get that shock. So I think rather having that open, honest conversation with your child and guiding them instead of saying yes or no, you know, when it comes to a phone and social media.
Ek is soos ek bly jy verwys daarna, want ek dink ouers het hierdie bekommernis van, ja, maar die vertrouensverhouding met my kind is vir my so belangrik, versus my reg om te weet waarmee is die kind besig in terme van sosiale media, waar bevind die kind hom of haarself, wat is die plekke wat besoek word, wat is die gesprekke wat gevoer word. En ek dink daai is so belangrik dat ons ouers moet beweet dat ons kinders hanteer nie hierdie situasie vanuit 'n volwasse en 'n emosioneel volwasse konteks nie, nie. Hulle is nog altyd besig om te leer hoe om volwassenes te word. En daarom gaan hulle ook nie weet hoe om daai situasie te hanteer soos wat 'n volwassene dit kan hanteer nie. En dan moet ek as ouer intree en die kind begelei en help om soos die volwassene te wees. Ek dink die belangrikheid daarvan, dat ons ouers met ons kinders daai gesprekke moet hê oor wat kan gebeur. Ek dink ouers het self nie eers 'n vaagste idee dat so iets kan gebeur met 'n kind nie. Jy weet, dat ouers hulle self ook moet skool en waar hulle geleenthede kry om inligting hieroor te kry om daarvan gebruik te maak sodat hulle kinders kan beskerm.
En sit bietjie langs jou kind. Ek bedoel, die YouTube influencers irriteer my grensloos, maar my seun is verslaaf daaraan. So elke nou en dan sal ek saam met hom sit, want ek wil kyk wat hy kyk. En dan sal ek vir hom sê, daai woord is nie iets wat mama van hou nie. Jy weet, so kom ons kyk iets anders. Ek wil nie hê jy moet hierdie persoon mee volg op social media nie. So ek dink dit is belangrik vir ouers om daai gesprek te hê voordat die kind al die foon het, dat jy nie net die kind se foon gryp, maar dit is 'n gesprek en dit is deel van daai reels wat jy vooraf saam besluit het op, en dat jy dan elke nou en dan incheck met jou kind, langs jou kind gaan sit, kom, ek wil kyk wat jy nou kyk, en lag saam vir die grappie of die TikTok, jy weet, dit kan ook verhouding bou, nee, met jou kind, want tieners, hou moes van praat nie, so jy kan lekker langs mekaar sit en saam lag, reels kyk, TikTok video's kyk, en dan monitor jy ook sommer indirek die inhoud. En dan kan julle, as jy iets sien wat dan vir jou ongemaklik of nie in lyn is met julle gesin se waardes nie, it opens up a conversation again.
Melanie, jy het in die begin van die gesprek dus toe sê ons dat social media is nie noodwendig all bad nie. Nee? Mm. Ek dink gedurende COVID het ons kom leer nou om sosiale media en online platforms te gebruik om die boodskap oor te kry. Nou, hoe kan ons social media gebruik om geesteswelstand by kinders te bevorder? Sien dat hulle daar is. Nee, hulle is daar, hulle is a captive audience. Hoe kan ons hierdie platform gebruik om geesteswelstand by hulle te bevorder? Is dit moontlik? Word dit gedoen?
Ek dink sosiale media is 'n uitstekende plek om oor mental health en, jy weet, oor sulke kwessies te praat waar tieners wil hoor, want ek kan as 'n sielkundige, kan ek uitgaan skool tot skool, 1-1 en ek het dalk 100 op die meeste kinders wat my boodskap hoor. Maar as ek op sosiale media kan gaan, dan praat ek van duisende, miljoene kinders wat nie die geld het nie, wat nie die hulpbronne het nie, wat dalk nie die vervoer het nie, wat dan kan vra en inligting kry om hulle te help. Ek sien baie keer kinders dan sê hulle vir my, nee, ek het ge-Google search, ek dink ek het depressie of ek is bipolêr en dan moet ons nou, jy weet, ook nou eers daar, want almal diagnoseer hulle self met alles. Jy weet, dan moet ons nou 'n bietjie daaroor gesels, maar ten minste is die inligting daar en dan saam met die inligting is daar altyd noodnommers, hulplyne, raad, practical tools, breathing exercises en ons kry deesdae die ongelooflikste apps wat kinders ook kan gebruik om hulle te help met mindfulness, breathing, om dagboek te hou van hulle gemoed en dan wat dan ook vir hulle dan link met mental health care professionals, wat ek dink uitstekend is, wat jou kinders, wat veral by die informele nedersettings is, waar mental health nog 'n stigma is, is iets waar die ouers nie praat nie, niks van wil weet nie, they have access to it now. So there's definitely power in social media, but again, how we use it, is nou waar dit inkom. Ja.
Ek is bly jy sê dit, want dit beteken ook ons ouers kan ook 'n bietjie gaan soek na webwerwe en inligting wat hulle dan na die kind toe kan kanaliseer, nê. Nee. Ons het verlede week gepraat oor die groot tekort wat ons het aan diensverskaffers. Maar as 'n mens dit vroeg identifiseer en jy kan vroeg alreeds ondersteuning bied en leiding gee, dan skakel ons eintlik 'n baie groot klomp toekomstige probleme dan uit daarmee.
Ja, en ek dink ook aan jou onderwysers wat byvoorbeeld lewensvaardighede gee as 'n vak, om te sê, jy weet, hoe kan ons sosiale media voordelig gebruik vir ons fisiese gesondheid? Daar's soveel YouTube video's wat jy sommer, maak nie saak hoe groot of hoe klein jou spasie is nie, jy het niks toerusting nodig nie, jy kan na jou fisiese gesondheid kyk, jy kan kyk wat se kos is gesond vir jou, jy kan dan die mindfulness apps, die Happyfire, My Therapy, so kan ons ook deur onderwysers in vakke soos lewensoriëntering die goeie kant van sosiale media gee. Ek het nou die dag 'n dogtertjie gesien wat baie jonk is en sy vertel my toe oor die TikTok video's wat sy kyk, wat verskriklike donker en swaar inhoud is vir 'n meisie wat maar net 10 of 11 is. En ek sê toe vir, ek het nie 'n probleem met sosiale media nie, maar ek dink ons het daai check-in nodig elke nou en dan, soos met mense ook. As ek met iemand gesels en as ek wegstap van daai persoon, voel ek swaar en ek voel angstig en ek voel ek is niks werd nie en ek voel skaam, dan weet ek daai persoon is bietjie toksiek en nie goed vir my nie. En dieselfde met online platforms ook. If you engage in a TikTok video that doesn't lift your mood, that doesn't make you feel better, then maybe that's not something that you need to watch. And social media is very clever. It's got algorithms. So if you like something, if you view something, even if you just pause at something for long enough, it picks it up and it keeps feeding you that same type of content over and over again. So if it's self-harming or eating disorders or these young girls that all want to go for plastic surgery, they're already so beautiful. Social media in general, they pick up the, whoa, you paused here. So let's feed her with more information. And then it's almost like you get a skewed idea and you get fed these information and images that is not balanced and not always healthy. Mm. So I told her, and like I would tell any child that I see, you need to check in with yourself. How do I feel after watching this TikTok video, after engaging in this online conversation, seeing that image online? What does it make me feel? And if it's not a good feeling, then maybe that is something I should not see more of. Then rather go for something that lifts your spirit, that's upbeat, that can help me with my mental health challenges. We have a lot of influencers that have good practical tools. It doesn't cost anything that you could do.
Hierdie baie goeie raad van Melanie Black, sielkundige by die Weskaap Onderwysdepartement se Metro Noord distrikskantoor. Melanie, baie baie dankie dat jy met ons ouers kom gesels het, dat jy hierdie wonderlike leiding en perspektiewe gegee het, en ek dink ons gaan as gesinne ook nou in die toekoms 'n bietjie anders te kyk na hoe bestuur ons die gebruik van sosiale media binne gesinsverband.
Baie dankie Melanie, hoop om jou volgende keer weer hier te heen, en ik denk, dat ons is nog nie uitgepraat nie, daar is nog
een klomp goed wat ons... Nee, ek doe nog klomp goed gesê, maar ons tyd
nee, ons reel om weer so, nee, en ik denk die Radio Tygerberg luisteraars wil graag meer na jou luister, so ons gaan definitief jou terug nooi om met ons samen te komen, selfs baie dankie.
Lekker rond verder vir julle, bye.
Tot ziens.
Tot ziens.